pull up a chair and join us at the table this week for another episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice, a tabletop role-playing podcast.
Welcome to Paper, Pencil, Dice. Hey, Tony, can you start us off?
Sure. Welcome back, everybody. Speaking of this time, what happened last time, everybody?
So, last time we encountered the pyramid that held the orb, but the orb was not there at the time. So we had to, need to figure out where that's at. Then we encountered the crystal golem. We talked to him, and there's some guy named Artimatter that we need to find to figure out what's going on. He kind of indicated that the orb was there to power a cage of some sort, because there was some presence or something that was keeping at bay and caged, that because the orb is gone, is now could get unleashed under the world.
Yes, it was in containment, if I recall.
Yeah, that's right.
The containment was breached.
All right.
And then we went into it was almost like a futuristic metal ship of some sort.
Deep underground.
Yeah, it was underground, yeah, in this cave.
And heavily damaged, too.
Yeah, and we talked to this guy that led us to the cockpit, and then for some reason, one of our members got really mad and wanted to smash something. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tegan got a little upset. He got a little insider information from a friend on his shoulder, and so he's about ready to blast the console. And I think that's triggered a few other things, but I think we stopped right there, right?
We stopped there last time. And just so you know, listeners, it's been a couple months since we got together to record this. The main, though, you know, it's we're still refreshing ourselves a little bit. So Tegan had held up his hand, was about to blast the console when we left off last time, and also there was an explosion that was heard down the hall. And by down the hall, I mean way down the hall, back in the area that was before this metal contraption you ran into. So, we will start off right as you are blasting it. A blast goes off into the console, at which point the console appears to... There is a large glass box on the console that appears to suddenly blink red, and light comes from behind it after the flaming blast hits it.
Okay.
And you hear in a voice that sounds like common to you, or sometimes it sounds like other languages, but strangely enough, they're all languages you can understand, no matter what language is coming across. And it says, "Intruders detected. Engaging defensive procedures." At which point, you see, out of the hallway, steps forward a mechanical automaton, and holds out his arm, at which point, at the base of his wrist, a blade begins emerging out, and he seems to have generated an arm out of his, regenerating a blade out of his arm.
Can I arm myself before combat occurs?
Or? Yes, so you guys will have, he's not moving super quickly, but the other thing you notice as you have a round to prepare is that there are other things that it appears almost that the walls or the debris that's around on the floor and parts of the walls are coming off and assembling themselves into kind of makeshift automatons at the same time. So it seems as though something or someone is constructing automatons out of just whatever happens to be around here. Presumably, you would guess it probably has something to do with these defensive procedures. We're going to go into a combat, but this is a relatively unique combat. So, these automatons are going to continue to generate out of the walls and the debris and stuff like that, but the combat ends when the console is disabled, not when all the monsters are defeated. So, this is a combination of a skills challenge and a combat. So, on your turn, you may choose to attack the monsters, or you can go up to the console and engage in a skill in a skill challenge. Again, 8 successes and you win, but you don't fail at 3 failures. 3 failures just engages further defensive procedures, and so on and so forth. So, the only skills that would involve disabling the console are allowed.
So we
used as part of the skill challenge.
So the combat goes until we're all dead or we disable the console.
Correct.
Okay.
And what are the skills for disabling the console?
So different ones. Honestly, if you can find a way to deploy them, obviously things like thievery would definitely work. You could probably use most of the magic ones like nature, arcana, occultism, and religion. If you find any ways to possibly either use deception, maybe to put it into like sort of a logic conflict or something like that, or you could possibly use diplomacy because the console can be negotiated with potentially. But certain things probably, I mean, even athletics, you know, I punch the console. You know, that you can make a lot of things work. The thing is, you're trying to stop the console.
I can disable the console real quick. Hulk smash!
So there's a lot of options.
Okay.
But, it's a standard action. I'm sorry. I'm in previous Pathfinder editions. It will take 2 actions of your 3 to engage in a skill check. So you can use your 3rd action for whatever you want. But 2 of your actions are used on whatever skill check you're doing. And you have to be within, I'm going to say, 2 to 3 squares of the console to do it. So you can't be, like, all the way across the map. And
so that's, what, 5 to 10 feet?
We'll say 10 to 15 feet.
Okay.
If you're within 15 feet, you can engage with the console. If you are outside of that, then you're too far to engage with it.
Okay.
All right, so first step that we need is initiative from everybody. All right, let me add everybody the initiative chart here. And then I will go around and get everybody's initiative. So, Aether.
See, I am 19.
19. And Jathal.
22.
And Hup.
It's my, I rolled a 7. Perception is what you add to it, right?
That's correct.
So it's 12.
12. Okay. And last but not least is Tegan.
9.
9 modified?
Modified.
What did you roll?
6.
6. Well done. All right. And on 4 goes the console and everything it's controlling. And also, there is another thing, a question mark, that goes on 1.
Sure. A question mark that goes on 1?
Yes. We'll find out what that is when we get to initiative count 1.
Is there a red button?
So, Jathal, you're up first. What would you like to do?
I would like to use, I see this thing coming out at me, and I would like to use charm on it.
Okay. The automaton, or are you going to use charm on the console itself?
The automaton.
Okay. What does charm do?
It basically allows you to, you charm it with your words, it has to make a will save, basically, to break out of it. But essentially, you follow my right. Yeah. So it's your words are honey, and your visage seems bathed in a dreamy haze.
Ooh, a dreamy haze, eh?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's
seems fancy.
Let's dreamy haze the heck out of this thing.
Does it work on an automaton?
So does you have to roll, or does it just roll a will save?
I believe it is. Looks like it's just a will save.
Okay. So let me roll its will.
Yeah. Target savings for result.
All right.
Yeah.
It rolled a 9. It has a 12.
So DC 17.
Okay. So it fails. So what are your honeyed words that you speak to it?
0110001.
Protect me.
All right.
Ooh, nice.
What about the rest of us?
Just him. That's probably what Aether says.
Protect me.
Speaking of Aether, it is... Oh, wait. Is that was how many actions to cast that? Two, I think, for charm?
Yes.
Okay, so you have one more action remaining.
I would like to yell at Tegan, fix this!
All right, we'll go with that. So, Aether, it is your turn. So, he has charmed this thing.
Okay.
Or at least, you know, he said protect me, and it seems to have reacted to that, but until its turn, you're not quite sure what its reaction is going to be.
All right. I seem to be down at the end of the hall, so I would prefer to get in between the automaton and the rest of the group.
Okay. So that's not hard to do.
And then, I guess, ready my shield. And that, I think, does two actions, yeah?
So, moving, readying, shield, that's two actions, yep. So, okay. You have one more.
The third one, to do anything with the console takes two, yes?
To do anything with the console does take two, correct. You are also too far away from the console to interact with it.
Okay, that's fine. Alright. I forget, is there an action that allows you to increase your defense by taking a defensive action? Is there anything like that?
I don't actually know.
Okay. I'll just pass then, since I don't have any other actions to do right now.
I didn't know if you wanted to attack the automaton or not.
If it's charmed, it seems like a bad idea.
That's fair.
It's only charmed...
What is the duration on charm, by the way?
1 hour.
1 hour, got it. All right, so that is the end of your turn?
Yep, that's ending.
All right, up next would be Hup.
All right, well, Hup is going to move towards the console.
Okay.
That's one action, right?
Adjacent to it, or how?
So I can interact
right.
with it.
Are you going to move within 3 squares of it, or are you just going to move right up adjacent to it?
I'm going to try to disable it.
Okay, that would make sense to be adjacent. So I will move you up there.
So then I'm going to use my thievery skill to see if I can disable it.
Okay.
I got a natural 1, but I add 7, so that's 8.
And then you subtract 10 because it's a natural 1.
So I negative 2. Does that...
Are you at 7?
I'm at 7 now.
7 natural 1s in 3 games?
I think so, yeah.
Wow.
Well, don't forget, 3 more and you get your 11th one free.
Yay!
All right, so that is a failure. So that is one failure.
Oh, wait,
so
that's
far.
A 20. No, it's a 1.
I know, they look so similar, don't they? All right, so that was move and then 2 actions to attempt to disable. So, Hup walks up and...
trips.
Honestly, that's probably accurate. So he goes and opens up a panel and tries to interact with some of the circuitry that appears to be in there, not understanding what exactly the circuitry is, and Hup kind of vibrates and sparks a little bit. And looks back, and his hair is... He has a new hairstyle, we'll say.
Nice.
Tegan.
I'm going to try something similar.
That's a tight... That's a spicy tomato.
I would not recommend something similar.
I would do it better.
I'm going to move up adjacent, and I'm going to try to... deception. And from a deception, I mean like a programming deception. Like try to put it into a natural loop or something.
Okay. So go ahead and roll it.
21.
What'd you roll on the die?
14.
14. Okay, so... plus 7, so that is a success. So you're at 1 success and 1 failure. So what do you say for your deception?
For my... I'm trying to put it into a loop, so I'm programming it.
No, I understand that. But, like, do you want to play out what your character is saying to the machine?
Are you sure this is going to work? I'm not so sure this is going to work. Why'd you tell me to do that? Because it's bad. Are you sure it's bad? I don't know that. And then I keep doing it.
Okay.
So I'm talking to someone as I'm doing
you're
this.
You're talking to someone and... Okay, that's fair. And the
Hup
machine...
kind of gives him this weird sideways glance.
He seems to just be tapping on buttons, and it seems as though he's now distracted the machine from whatever it was trying to do. And at this point, we have, from down in the lower area, four more of them have finished spawning out of the walls and debris. And then, additionally, this one up here approaches them and tries to attack them. So it will roll and get a natural 20.
Wow.
Woo!
And
hooray for the good guys.
So that will be a successful crit on it. This is the one that's being controlled by Jethal. So on one of the other ones, it successfully deals 7 damage and destroys one.
Yeah.
So, and then the other 3, saying something along the lines of programming error detected, go and attack that errant one. So the first attack is a 15 on the die with a bonus of 8. Will successfully hit and deal 1 damage. Second one will roll a 12 with a bonus of 8, also hits and deals 4 damage. And the last one rolls a 9 with a bonus of 8, is a 17, which also hits and does 3 damage, which then destroys the one that was under Jethal's control.
Oh, darn it.
Should have told him to save himself.
I sense a strategy though.
Yeah, it's okay.
At least they did that to the golem and not me.
See?
There you go.
He's already been helpful.
Yep.
All right, and...
He will not be remembered.
Who?
Exactly. So down the hall, you hear a couple voices. One says, "Is this the right way?" "Of course it's the right way. Do you doubt me?" "No, no, of course I don't doubt you." And then you see a large flash of light and some robotic pieces come rolling, like, it's barely into view down just around this area. So this guy isn't here yet. So down around this area, you just see, like, pieces of broken machinery after a flash of light come tumbling into view.
So is Roderick just hiding in a corner somewhere?
Roderick is hiding in a corner and trying not to be noticed at the moment.
Okay.
Okay, so that was our mystery person at initiative count 1.
Okay.
And after that, we will return back to the top of the initiative order. It is your turn, Jethal.
I would like to move closer to the console.
Okay. What is your movement speed?
Good question. 30.
Okay, you are able to get just behind the other two.
Yep, that's perfect. And then I would like to cast grease on an area.
Okay. What are you going to make greasy?
I would like to cast it, since I noticed something coming from the hallway. I would like to cast it basically down the hallway from where... I think you are there still next to the golems.
So past the stairs?
Yeah, so like right at the top of the stairs.
Okay.
So
you're going to pour grease down the stairs?
Essentially.
All right. Sounds good. Is there any checks involved in this?
Yes. So,
because I know grease is one of those spells that changes almost every edition. So yeah. Can you go ahead and give me a quick description of what the spell does?
Yes, so you conjure grease with effects based on choosing area or a target. So area, all solid ground in the area is covered with grease. Each creature standing on the greasy surface must succeed at a reflex save or an acrobatics check against your spell DC or fall prone.
Okay, which there are no current creatures in the area you cast it in.
Correct. A creature that steps or crawls... creatures using an action to move onto the greasy surface during the spell's duration must attempt either a reflex or an acrobatics check to balance. A creature that steps or crawls doesn't have to attempt a check or save.
Okay. And what is the duration?
Duration is 1 minute.
Okay. 1 minute, period. There's no minute per level or anything?
Correct.
Okay. Perfect. All right. So for the next 10 rounds, those stairs are mighty greasy. And is grease 2 actions to cast?
Yes.
Okay. So that is all 3 of your actions. Yep. So... we will move along over to Aether.
So Aether will back up to the group there.
Okay. You have a movement speed of 30.
So that's one action, correct?
Do you have a movement speed of 30? I didn't know if you were wearing...
You're an elf?
I'm an elf.
He is, but I don't know if he's wearing heavy enough armor that would just slow it down, sure, or not. So.
No.
Speeds him up, actually. He's got super fast.
It's super fast armor. His armor is greasy now, so...
No. Speeds him up. I don't have anything saying it's reducing my movement speed, so...
All right. Sounds good, then. You are at 30 feet, so you can get it there with no issue.
Placing myself between me and the group so that they can't just get stabbed in the back by something.
Okay.
And then that's one action, correct?
That would be one action, correct. So two remaining.
And then let's see if I can try to rip open the panel to get underneath it so that maybe somebody could get into the guts to try to rewire it.
All right. Sounds good. So I know Hup tried that already, but to not much success. So what skill are you going to use to do that?
I think that'd probably be strength, like athletics type of thing.
Yeah, athletics, just using raw strength to pull the panel. Sounds good to me.
Okay. So that would be a 20.
Overall?
Overall.
Okay, I don't know if it was a natural 20 or a 20 and modified. So 20 is a success. So that makes two successes and one failure.
All right.
That is all three of your actions. So up next goes Hup.
Hup is going to try to disable the panel once more.
You cannot, you can't use thievery again, and you can't use athletics because we're still following.
Oh, we're still following those silly rules. Okay, so I'm. So let's see.
Those rules.
So I am going to try to.
Can you tell the AI or whatever it is to say, yeah, we're just trying to get inside here. Don't worry about it or anything like that.
Don't bother me. I'm just
I'm just here doing routine maintenance. Right.
I'm just wondering if I can use stealth somehow. Stealth to kind of stealthily try to make it think that I'm going to screw up when I'm actually not trying to screw up.
That would be deception, not stealth.
Mm-hmm. I think you're wrong. No.
You could try to. Can you use stealth to hide one of the components? Pull one of the components out and hide it.
Throw a tarp over top of Tegan and
he does not exist.
He's gone.
He actually didn't do it.
He's been destroyed. Threats eliminated. You're good.
Threats eliminated.
I'm going to conceal its escape button from it so it can't get away.
Sure, let's roll it. Let's find out. You've broken the DM at this point.
What? No.
Natural one?
No, it's not a natural one. It is 11.
11 is not a success. So you realize, and when you try to conceal the button is on the console and it's very hard to remove.
This is broken dice.
So we are. They're your dice. So we are. I think we need to get him one of those pop a magic bubble so he can't touch his dice.
I absolutely need that.
So we have two successes and two failures. Don't forget, something will happen negatively at three failures. You won't lose the skill challenge, but bad things start happening. All right, so that was a move and a skill check. So up next, we go with Tegan. So far, you guys are not having a good track record. I mean, you're half and half, but that's not the way you want skill challenges to go.
I think I'm going to cast Shield. That raises my armor class by one.
Okay. So that's one action.
Yep, and then I got two more.
Also, readies a shield block, too, is part of the shield spell. Okay. And I believe the shield spell ends after one round.
I guess that's my question. Yes. From a raised shield, do you have to raise shield every turn?
Yes. So for one turn, you have a raised shield.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so when you put a shield, it's one round, and then it ends after the next.
Never mind, then. I don't think it is. Well, there's something.
There's three down there. Three easily within walking distance of you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Aether is first in line, though.
Yeah, so I don't think they're going to get to me.
Might not hit you.
They will
be able to get down.
Most likely be able to get to Aether and Jethal before they get to the rest.
All right, well, let's not do that then. Let's do a intimidation check.
Okay.
On the computer. I'm like,
break that.
I will fry you. Or something like that. Let's see what happens. 10 plus 7 is 17.
17 is a success.
All right.
So, you tell it to break, and it says, command accepted.
You are authorized to break me. Congratulations.
And then M, a few seconds later, goes, function break, not found.
And then my last action. All of these are two actions. I'm fine without taking the third action. That's fine. We can move on.
Sounds good. I mean, you could use the shield spell on the off chance that someone might get through to you, because, I mean, it doesn't cost you anything at that point, so.
Oh, yeah, it's a cantrip, right? Great. Yeah, I'll do the shield.
It
this
is,
time.
But you can only use it, like, once every hour or something.
No,
like
you can use it. You can use it unlimited number of times unless you use the shield block action or reaction. Then it has a 10-minute cooldown. But you could use it every turn unlimited. It's only if you use the shield block action as part of it that it then has a 10-minute cooldown, yeah.
Cool.
All right, yeah, I'll just do that shield then.
All right, so the monsters accidentally phase into the wall, apparently.
We win!
No, they come up, and we will have two of them. The interesting thing about these is they seem to move in perfect synchronicity to each other, so they are able to occupy the same space and not cause conflicts with one another. So they move up, and two of them are going to attack Aether, and one will attack Jethal.
Man.
So, on Aether, the first attack, a 15 plus 8 is a 23.
Miss.
Does that hit?
Yes.
Okay. You take 2 damage.
Alright.
The second attack on Aether, 8 on die plus 8 is 16. Does a 16 hit you?
Nope.
Alright. And then the one attack on Jethal. A 4 on die plus 8 is a 12. Does a 12 hit you?
Oh god, where's my AC?
It's in the box that says AC.
Mm-hmm. Very helpful
no,
there.
It does not hit me.
Does not hit you. Alright, so then only one of the three hit. Meanwhile.
Back in the Hall of Justice.
Back in the Halls of Justice. you see 4 more have formed in the room up above.
Oh no.
Is that where, what's his face? Is that where Roderick was hiding? Was in the room up there?
You do hear a squeal from possibly
squeal,
from
a squealing Roderick.
And then Roderick runs out of there and runs in the other room across the hall.
And Roderick. It's Roderick.
Roderick. Roderick. Yes, it is Roderick.
That's Roderick. Thank you.
Not from Diary of the Wimpy Kid.
Okay.
And then after that, you, since you guys can kind of barely see down the hallway to the rocky area from here if you're looking, I mean, there's a lot going on at this point. You hear a voice. At this point, anyone can give me a perception check to see if they can hear it well enough to recognize the voice.
Oh, I should totally roll this.
You should. Well, hey, you can get one more bad roll out of your system.
I rolled a natural 20, so
that's an extra plus 10.
So 35.
Okay, that will be a success. What did everybody else get?
21.
14.
Okay.
Of course. It's a perception check?
Yep.
It is 18.
18. All right.
Modified.
So actually, all of you, with the exception of Tegan, are able to tell that this is the first voice is the voice of Investigator Teak.
Oh, no. That guy.
Who is coming down the hall and saying, yeah, I'm pretty sure they went this way. Anyways, and then you see right after you hear that, you see him run past, run, and goes, oh god! And then there is a centaur-looking automaton.
Oh, yeah.
Comes, walks into view, holding Investigator Teak in one hand. At which point he appears to be squealing and, you know, in pain because he's probably being squished with that hand. Mm. At which point then you see another blast of light come off and say, unhand him, and then the arm kind of gets partially blown off, at which point it starts to regrow from, you know, the machine begins to regrow the hand back that it was lost that was holding onto Investigator Teak, but as soon as the hand holding Investigator Teak hits the ground, it opens up and he rolls out.
Okay.
And another figure walks into view, a short, 2.5 foot tall person with a hood pulled up.
Gherkin.
No.
Might be Gherkin.
Oh, the boss.
Mob boss.
Yeah.
Gherkin.
I couldn't imagine why a mob boss would do his own work, though.
Somebody's got to, because people like Teak working for him.
That's fair. I guess who's we'll
next?
See.
I mean, the work's got to get done somehow. All right, and Jethal is up next. There are three of these automatons looking directly at you.
I tell Tegan to move aside and let someone that knows what he's doing work on the console.
And Tegan's not the one screwing this up.
But he's the one that started it.
Oh, that's fair.
So I have a grudge against him.
That's fair. So do you allow him to move you out of the way?
Yes, yeah, fine.
All right. I would like to use my... Basically, try and use magic to... not really blast it, per se, but, like...
Manipulate it. Okay, so that would be an Arcana?
Yeah.
Or Arcane check?
That's what I was thinking, is Arcana. It's a 19 on dice, plus 7, so 26.
26 is not just a success, but that's a critical success.
That's two Ooh. Successes.
Then. No, it counts as a success, and then he gets the rolling reroll. So there is now a floating reroll
for
Huff to use, most likely. Yeah. But there is now a floating reroll available to the next person who rolls, or if someone rolls a critical failure, it will remove the floating reroll.
Okay. And then, so that's two actions. I think I saw him.
And that is three successes, correct?
Yes, that's four.
Four successes and two failures.
Yep.
I think that's all I'm going to do.
Okay. After that, we will have Aether.
So I'm going to yell to the AI and try to use my diplomacy and go, hey, why are you trying to attack the people who are here to help you? You should get rid of your automatons and send them away.
Okay.
I don't think I was very persuasive. I have a total of 7.
A total of 7?
Total of 7.
Well, you are not at critical failure. Quite. What was it on die?
A 3. But I would like to use the rolling reroll that we just
got. Okay.
You don't get it. It's mine.
You have earned your honorary Hup award.
That's not nearly low enough.
I'm at 12 now, which is probably still not a success.
It is still not a success.
All right.
Could he use a hero point?
He could use a hero point if he wants to spend his hero point on this.
I'm not going to use my hero point because I'm the only thing standing between you guys and all these automatons. So if I die, you guys...
You may need it later. Yeah, that makes sense. So as you are explaining to it that you're not the bad guys, it says, does not compute. Bad guys would not attack me to begin, or good guys would not attack me to begin with.
Tegan.
I get to see Jethal going, Tegan. shaking his fist slowly at him.
And sorcerers and wizards don't get along in the first place.
Yeah, so. That is accurate. All right. So, with that, you still have one action remaining. Are you wanting to do anything else?
I'll just attack the nearest one with my longsword.
Just apologize.
I'm sorry. All right.
We're not the bad guys. Smash!
Is a 25 a success?
A 25 is a successful hit.
Is it a critical success?
It is not a critical success.
All right. All right. And that'd be 12 damage.
Okay, you destroy it.
Nice. I like it when things get destroyed.
Yeah.
Well, when things fight.
All right, so that is all of your actions. So now we are up to Hup.
Hup is going to try to disable. Hup is up. The Hup is up.
Oh, you get to disable this time, don't you?
I'm going to use disable.
Oh,
thievery.
Thievery disable device. Yep.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to roll the one, my terrible dice.
Why?
Oh, yeah, baby.
It's not as terrible this time.
It is a 23.
That is a success.
Critical?
That is not a critical success.
Because a critical success gives me two successes based upon disabled device. Disabled device, if you have a critical success, you get...
Does that specifically say that on the disabled device?
It does.
For the house rules of skill talent? I didn't realize that.
It is actually documented right here.
Hold on.
I'm writing it on my paper with a pencil.
After rolling dice.
Right.
Hey, there we go. Okay, so that is a success. So we're up to five successes now.
And I'm going to use my third action to try to attack one of the automaton. Can I? They're within reach, right?
Can you say that again?
Nope. Cannot. Yeah. So I am going to use rapier. And it's a 14 plus 7, so 21.
That is a hit.
It's a 1d100. No. 1d6. 4 plus 4 is 8.
That will destroy one.
And that, kids, is how you do it.
That's how it's done.
You
that is
disable
how it's
a device
done.
And then stab.
And then disable another device.
And stab. Right. That's, I told you it was two disables.
There you go.
Is produce flame one action or two, do you know?
I'll have to look it up. I don't know.
Cantrip. I thought it was only one.
It's one.
It's probably one, but I...
For what?
You'll have to verify. If his produce flame spell is one action
it's
or two.
Part of the sorcery class.
Yeah.
But it's a spell itself, but yeah.
I'll do disable device first.
All right.
Or so not disable device. I'm deception. I'm going to try to put it in a programming loop again.
All right.
By hitting a bunch of buttons. It's two. 18 plus 7 is a 25.
That is a success.
Is it a critical success?
It is not a critical
success. What? I can't get the higher.
You're close.
All right.
But that is a success. So we are at six successes.
And two failures. And I'll do the shield thing again, just in case.
All right. And you are... So where Jethal and you swap places, now the two back people are Aether and Tegan.
Wait a minute, I'm in front?
You're
pushed ahead of you.
You pushed ahead of you.
Oh, pushed you aside.
So.
Great.
So now it is the baddies' turn. Everybody loves the baddies.
They don't hit hard.
Except for there's just a lot of them. So there are now five. So it's going to be two that are going to attack Tegan and three that are going to attack Aether. Because Aether's kind of more presented as the threatening one right now.
Seeing as how I haven't hit anything.
You hit the console, the whole thing that started this. Oops, I threw my dice across the room accidentally.
This is true.
and... Yeah. Don't. By the way, listeners, don't talk with dice in your hand. Sometimes they go flying. So, the three attacks against Aether. First one, 13 on die. Does a 21 hit?
Yes.
Okay. 4 damage. Second attack, 16 on die. Does a 24 hit?
Yes.
3 damage. Third attack. 5 on die. Does a 13 hit?
No.
Okay. Against Tegan. 8 on die. Does a 16 hit?
It matches.
Then that would be a hit. 1 damage. Second attack. 13 on die. Does a 21 hit?
Yes.
4 damage. So 5 in total.
Okay.
All right. So, and after that, another 4 spawn.
Man, we haven't even hit 3 failures yet.
Nope.
Cool.
And after that...
So how many spawn?
Four. Hmm. So there are a grand total of nine right now.
Yep.
And the hooded figure blasts the centaur-looking automaton, and it kind of stumbles backwards a little bit. And he looks up from it after the smoke clears and goes, "Hop, Hop, is that you?"
"It is me. And do I recognize the voice?
Do I recognize this person?" "It is Master Ganthus."
"Hey, Ganth! What's up, my man?"
"What's up, my man?"
He goes,
"Man."
He goes, "I'm surprised that you made it here. Did you find Roddick?"
"We did find Roddick."
At which point, Roddick runs across the hallway going, "Ah!"
He squeals like a little dwarf.
He goes, can you shut that down? I have this at least held back for now, but I don't know for how much longer."
"I'm actually working on it right now."
"All
right. Just a few more button pushes and we'll be done."
And apparently everyone just stood back and stopped attacking while they had this long conversation. And back at it. So it's Jethal's turn.
How many successes are we at?
You are at six.
Six.
Six successes and two failures.
Six successes. I would like to spend my drain bonded item.
Okay.
It's a one-a-day thing where I can cast any previous spell.
Okay.
Without spending a spell slot.
Sounds good.
So we use that, and I'm going to actually cast Grease again.
Okay.
And I want to cast it basically to where it affects all of those guys that are right next to us.
Okay, so you're going to target just beyond where you are.
Yeah, so okay. Like it just covers a 10 by 10 square. Okay. So.
So that should cover all five of those, all five of the automatons, and you can probably angle it in a way that it does not hit Aether or Tegan.
That would be ideal.
Okay, so then at that point I need to make five reflex saves, correct?
Correct.
All right.
DC 17.
All right, and they have they actually have pretty decent reflex.
Darn it.
So that is an 18, a 24, a 22, a 16, one false.
Oh, one false.
Woo! And a 26. So you knocked one out of the five down.
Gosh darn.
So because they all kind of work together, when one falls, do they all fall?
No,
they're bowling pins. They must be.
They're bowling pins.
They were not of the domino breed. All right, so that was, I believe, two actions to cast that.
Yeah.
Do you have anything that you would like to do with your third?
I'll cast shield.
Okay, sounds good. All right, Aether.
All right, I'm getting kind of angry here, so I'm gonna yell at this machine here and go, "All right, you infernal machine, if you don't get rid of these, I'm gonna do more than rip that panel off."
All right. I presume that's an intimidate?
Yeah.
Sounds like a deception to me.
20.
20 is a success. So that puts us at seven successes. At which point, the machine seems to go quiet. It doesn't respond to you. It seems thoughtful. And that was two actions. You have a third.
And I will attack one of the nearest.
Okay.
Guys. 21.
21 is a hit.
All right. And so we will do 6 damage.
You do 6 damage. And that will take one down.
Okay.
All right. After that was your three actions. So we're at Hup.
All right, so I'm going to use my lore scribing.
Okay.
To open up the user documentation and change it.
For the listeners, I'm just staring in stunned silence at the moment. You know what? I'm going to allow it.
Yes!
You're going to change the user manual?
Upon intimidation shutdown system.
So for the listeners, all five of us work in IT, and one thing I've learned, you can change commented out code and somehow break a program.
Oh, you're changing out the commented code. Okay, that makes sense by scribing new comments. Okay.
I rolled a 14.
Okay. So Hup accidentally wrote it in the actual booklet documentation instead of...
Right, that's what I meant to say. I figured if I change the documentation, it changes the system.
You know, it's a good theory, but not in practice. So that is your third failure.
I do notice on my dice that the 8 is right next to the 20.
That is an accurate observation. That does not help you in this situation. Do you have a hero point to spend?
I don't.
Okay. All right. Well, then that is 3 failures. So, you hear a sound at that point after he just starts writing in a book, hoping that will do something.
These newfangled machines.
Yeah, they don't respond to books. It responds with defensive procedures defensive procedures 2 engaged. And Tegan, your turn.
So we're gonna try to.
I swore that was gonna work.
Yeah, I will say the fighter looks a little wounded at this point in time. You have to make a choice whether you want to take down the machine or bring back your fighter.
I can do both.
About to drop.
I can touch you for 1d8 and then still try that.
I can't wait for that touch.
Oh,
so I'm gonna do that.
I'm gonna leave that one there. I'm not gonna say anything.
So 1d8 on the fighter. Let me roll that real quick. So that's 4 hit points for the fighter.
All right, back up to 12.
All right, and then
I'm not sure what was funny there, but
I'm gonna try the diplomacy check. So we're going to. Just try to tell it that, hey, I wasn't aiming at you. I was aiming at something I thought I saw before. Sometimes I get these hallucinations. I talk to myself and just see if it'll listen to me after the intimidation.
So you're using deception to...
Diplomacy.
Diplomacy to apologize to the machine.
Basically.
Got it. All right.
Yeah.
That worked out about as well as apologizing to a computer would expect.
Yeah, pretty much.
So what?
I do have a hero point.
So what would you like to tell the listeners what you rolled?
Yeah, I rolled a 2 on the dice, plus 7 makes a 9.
All right. We've learned apologizing to machines doesn't really change their behavior much.
No.
But you're going to use your hero point to see if we can break that rule.
We're going to try to break it, see what happens.
Maybe a double apology will help.
For those playing the home game, yeah, that was another 2.
So, the dice gods have spoken. Apologizing to computers is never the way. All right. Well, now it's the monster's turn.
Crud.
So...
I would like them to use my dice.
No, use his. He rolled 2 2s in a row. Wait, does 2 2s make a 22?
No, it makes a 2 2. All right, so one of them has fallen down. Another of the ones that was standing there was taken down by Aether. So there are only 3 remaining, plus the 4 that walked up. In front, I believe, is still Tegan and Aether.
So did the ones that just walked up, do they have to... take a will save on the grease?
Reflex save, but yes, you're correct.
They do.
Thank you for the reminder. So they're walking up a natural 20.
Yep.
So that's 1 of the 4. A 16, so it falls.
Falls.
Okay. A 10, it falls. And a 14, it falls. So 1 of the 4 made it up there. The other 4, and then the other one will try to stand back up. I believe he needs a reflex save for that, and he fails to stand back up. So you have a grand total of 4.
4 that are attacking.
Well, 4 that are attacking.
4 that are on the ground. Because 4 failed the reflex save, and 1 of them failed.
Okay, so but there were 3 that were standing.
Yeah,
there was already that can attack.
So there's 7 here?
There's 8 here. Okay. So there are 4 that can attack at the moment. So we will split them evenly between Tegan and Aether. So against Aether, does a 17 hit you?
No.
Second attack, does a 16 hit you?
No.
Okay, Tegan, does a 19 hit you?
Yeah.
Take 4 damage.
Would you have, if you did the reflex save on the shield? Oh, wait, you didn't use a shield this turn.
And second attack, does an 11 hit you?
Yeah. No.
An 11 does?
I thought you rolled another 11. No, it does not hit me.
Okay. All right, so that is their attacks, and now...
So one hit you, yeah.
One hit me.
For how much?
For 4.
Oh, okay. So, how wounded are you?
I'm not looking good. Not quite woozy.
And 7 of them spawn this time.
So are we? Are we standing side by side, or to get past me? Do they have to go through?
They have to go through you. So you and Tegan are standing side by side and occupying the entire hallway.
Okay, so we're side by side.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's enough. So in a 10 feet worth of space, there's enough for the 4 of you.
Okay.
And being fully occupied, but these guys can kind of pile on top of each other.
Okay.
They kind of have swarm tactics almost. So 7 more have spawned for the next time to come around. And additionally, the giant automaton appears to be more wounded, but also Master Ganthus takes a significant hit, and he yells at Investigator Teak to run down the hall and help the others while he holds back the beast. And we will return back to the top of the round with Jethal.
I think
we only need one more success, right?
Yeah, I would like to try and use my crafting ability to
craft a plan.
No, but more of try and
craft an access key.
Kind of, I guess. Spark look card. At the because we've pried panels open off of this at this point. I'd like to get in there and kind of rewire things.
Okay. What craft are you using? Just craft in general?
Origami.
Yeah, just craft.
Origami.
I guess.
Well, I've turned the wires into a swan.
Yes. That's exactly right.
I see
right.
You, swan.
Probably, I guess... actually, let's go with repair, since I have...
Okay.
That so sounds I'm good. Gonna try and actually, like...
Unrepair it.
Kind of.
It works.
Turn it into a brick.
That is a 19.
That is a success.
As he does that, I'm going to reach over and just hit a few keys in the keyboard and make it look like I just fixed it.
At which point, Hup goes, I did it!
Good job, Hup!
I just give you a look.
Can you steal his necklace?
You better not.
The screen blacks out. You just kind of like the screen, whatever's on there, kind of fades into a line, and the line kind of stretches out and then fades out. At which point, all the automatons kind of slow stop and just kind of fall over.
Excellent.
And you guys have succeeded at the challenge.
I knew I could do it.
Good job, Pop.
Didn't all 3 of our failures come from you?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, the 3rd one came from you, and you're trying to apologize to a computer.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so sorry, computer. Please work. you successfully stopped the automaton swarm from coming at you. And have saved Master Ganthus from this giant automaton down the hall. At which point he begins slowly walking towards you after collecting his things that got knocked out of him.
I dispel my grease.
Okay. Sounds like a plan. Investigator Teak begins walking up to the group. And suddenly the machine powers back on and says, Welcome. Boot sequence initiated.
Hmm. Doesn't say hello world.
And
why does it have boots on?
And we will Come back and see what happens next time after the machine has started back up.
Thank you for joining us on Paper, Pencil, Dice, a tabletop role-playing podcast.